Yes, so sadhana implies placing one's thoughts, emotions, feelings, and all other ideas, conceptualizations, and everything else that is in the mind, placing it all within the murti of Bhagwan, meaning concentrating all of that in Bhagwan. It's a type of dhyan. We can use the word dhyan also, because dhyan can be understood as concentration. Now, when we consider this process that occurs mentally, psychologically, one has to be very cautious of the reactive nature of the mind itself. Because anything that is concentrated, particularly emotions and thoughts, if they're focused like a lens, you know, like a lens that focuses the sunlight, if they're focused in that way, then that has the potential of actually burning away the karan sharira. Burning away meaning destroying the causal body, meaning the vasanas. So that's why Maharaj is saying this. Now, the concentration of the thoughts themselves allows for continuous absorption in Bhagwan by deliberate action of the mind. This deliberate action occurs, of course, by Mahima. Now, this is the other way of looking at this. So if you have Mahima, then with Mahima, you can focus your mind. But if you have Asadharan Mahima, you don't have to focus the mind. The mind is just there all the time. And that's the basic difference. You see, and this distinction can be seen within the heart of the devotee. The devotee can see this himself or herself. Is there concentration going on? Or is there a natural remaining in the murti going on? If there's a natural remaining in the murti going on, and if it just remains that way, then sadhana is sahaj. It means sadhana is still occurring, but it is not occurring with concentration. It is occurring naturally with pure love, and it is occurring without a direction, meaning that love is flowing everywhere. Like we talked about last time, Jayajivete Ramaji Bijuna Bhasare. Right? So we mentioned that before. Again, that's the end point. That is the ultimate state. Now, going back down one step level, back to the sadhana level. In sadhana level, there is concentration. In concentration, there is, unfortunately, conflict. Now, the conflict is always going to be there as long as the karan sharir, the causal body, remains. The destruction of the causal body ends the conflict. And there's the process of time. I mean, there's the factor of time there. That, you know, do this sadhana, do that sadhana, and then this continues. Now, within the sadhana of Akhandavritti, which is the ultimate sadhana, all other sadhans are absorbed in that. All other sadhans are inside there. You know, all of the niyams of the Shikshapatri are within that. Not taking abhava ugun is within that. Doing seva is within that. Listening to Leela Charitra of God, that is within that. Doing Navda Bhakti, the nine forms of devotion are within that. All of that is in sadhana, in the sadhana of Akhand Vritti. Because Akhand means continuous, unbroken, uninterrupted, a state of mind that is connected with Bhagwan. The Akhand Vritti is really not a goal in the mental state. The Akhand Vritti is not a goal as far as the way the mind thinks of the word goal. Akhandavritti, the way Maharaj has meant it, according to me at least, according to Sachin, and that is that it is not a goal that is finite, it is a state that is abiding. It is a state that is continuously occurring, meaning the state of Akhandavritti is the sadhana itself, and it is the goal itself. Meaning Akhandavritti is the sadhana, and Akhandavritti is the goal. Maybe I didn't say that properly before. But this is the thing to understand. Akhandavritti means the constant unbroken contact with the Lord. This is due through mantra, the Swaminarayan Mahamantra. This is due through other mantras also, if one is worshipping other Ishtadevas, whatever it may be. But the fact is that this kind of unbroken contact is what we're looking for. Now, when we consider the difficulty involved in this, Shriji Maharaj's own words are indicating that it is the most difficult thing to do. It is extraordinarily difficult. In fact, there is nothing more difficult in this life than to do this type of sadhana of Akhandavritti and place the mind, the antakaran itself, and all the senses in the service of the Lord constantly. Shriji Maharaj has also stated in that Vachanamrita that there is no greater prapti, meaning attainment, than Akhandavritti. Akhandavritti is the greatest attainment also. So, coming back to our original discussion about sadhana versus this natural absorption in Bhagwan's murti, sadhana is very, very tricky because it is playing with the mind. The mind is playing with itself. You know, that's where the problem comes. That's why the agnya of the enlightened saint, if there's agnya of an enlightened person who has realized God, who can see your mind, who has the capacity to see your mind like an open book, that kind of satpurush is required. Because that kind of satpurush knows exactly where you're stuck, knows exactly what's going on inside the mind. And by telling the satpurush that, hey Maharaj, hey Swami, this is the problem, this is what's going on inside of me, these are some difficulties, again verbally telling, and then of course the satpurush having the non-verbal capacity to see the entire structure of the disciple's mind, if such a satpurush is present, and when you know such a satpurush is present, then what happens, then the satpurush directly shows the disciple, the shishya, how to overcome all of the limitations that are existing within the process of sadhana. That is the role of the guru. The role of the guru, and this is another very big topic which we will talk about again later sometime, but I'm just kind of giving some, these are just some thoughts initially about all of this in these first few recordings. The role of the guru is to remove agnyan, to point out where the agnyan lies in the disciple. And the disciple must have the sensitivity and the vision to see his or her own ignorance. If that sensitivity is not there, if that vision is not there, then the guru may be talking for long periods of time to the shishya, giving all kinds of instruction, but the shishya is not receptive to the guru's teaching. So that is why even our Upanishads talk about guru shishya sambandha. Upanishad means guru shishya sambandha. Going to the enlightened person sitting by him or her, if it's a female guru, if females are going to female guru like that, and then sitting by the guru, getting the instructions that are required, and then being very open and honest with the guru that these are the problems, this is what's going on, and the guru then instructs the disciple on how to overcome them. But if the shishya is not sensitive to what is being said by the guru, then there is no way that any progress can be made. You know, so sadhana cannot be done that way. Sadhana is always done by the agnya of one's guru, and the guru has to be enlightened, has to be perfect, has to have complete saintliness, has to have complete saintly qualities, has to have ekantik dharma. All of that has to be there, because that guru is living in the state that the shishya wants to go into. See, and that is how Akhandavritti occurs. Akhandavritti in Bhagwan is not going to happen without the instructions and contact with the enlightened saint, enlightened person. The reason behind that is because the mind, due to its original ignorance, is not able to go outside itself that easily. Of course, if someone is doing sadhana without guru and is worshipping the murti only of Bhagwan with pure love and affection, it is of course up to God. He can take the disciple out of maya anytime. But usually the standard way is for the disciple to go to an ekantik saint and learn from that saint how to remain inside the murti. That is the role of the guru. The role of the guru or satpurush is not to divert the disciple from Bhagwan. The role of the guru or satpurush is not to connect the shishya with him or her. The role of the satpurush is to show exactly by his or her own life, as well as by specific teachings, meaning that that satpurush is Brahmaveta and Kshatriya. You know, so mostly in Swaminarayan Sampradaya, there are not too many female gurus. There are some Tyagi sadhvis, I believe, or the Tyagi ladies in Garhada and some other places. And I suppose they're acting as guru for some of the female disciples. And Sriji Maharaj, I think in Garhada Ante 9 or 11, has talked about this also, that if there's a female guru, then the female should go to female gurus. I just want to mention that here. But the fact is that Brahmanishta and Kshatriya are the two qualities that Guru must have. Obviously, it has to be there. Brahmanishta means one who is clear about the Brahman, one who is completely established inside the Brahmastiti, or one who has Nishta, that he is Brahman. But you know, Brahmastiti, we can kind of really say that in that sense. And then Kshatriya meaning the capacity to explain to the disciples that the specific agnan, specific internal blocks exist, and then how to remove them, how to get rid of them. Now again, it is up to the disciples to learn from each other also, as well as to share with each other. That's part of the reason why Sachin is making these recordings. It's for my benefit to hear from all of you what your thoughts are. And this kind of exploration is necessary. This kind of internal exploration is necessary because there are so many gurus, there are so many different books there, there are so many different teachers, but ultimately we have to learn from everywhere, learn from each other. And the Ekantik saint who is teaching us is living in Akhanda Vritti. That's the main thing. If you have an Ekantik sant or saint who is living in Akhanda Vritti, it is up to the disciple to find out very clearly, very, very, very minutely and acutely exactly how the saint is doing that. You know, what is that individual doing so that no maya comes inside the mind, so that the mind doesn't generate any maya at all? You know, because the maya is after all a function of the mind with the Karan Sharira. That's really all it is. And the saint has been able to take his thoughts, feelings, his memories, put them all inside a continuous absorptive link with Bhagwan without any kind of break. Because that break is maya itself, like Sriji Maharaj has explained in Garuda Pratham 1. The question was asked to Maharaj, what is maya? And Maharaj said, ke je Bhagwan na swarup nu dhyan karta adu avinavaran kare, e maya. E maya che. So that is maya. Maya is not some physical object somewhere. It's not like that. It is all of those things that are distracting the absolute connection with Bhagwan. That is maya. And that connection is itself important, because that connection has within itself tremendous intelligence. The normal intelligence of the individual that is working, excuse me, that normal intelligence that is functioning is functioning in a very limited, restrictive way. But when there's a state called Sadbuddhi, see, Sadbuddhi means that kind of intelligence that has decided clearly that I want to completely absorb in God. See, this is a decisional factor. In our field of psychology, there is a term called decisional balance. Decisional balance means, you know, which way does the scale tip, to do something or not to do something. But when there is a decision made by the devotee, a clear, firm, unbroken decision that says, I want to realize God, I want to please Bhagawan, under any circumstances, come what may. That kind of a absolute decision, once it is made, and then if it remains unbroken throughout life, that is the goal. But that kind of decision is no easy task, because you may make the decision for some period of time and then it'll break after some time and then start the process all over again, like we talked about before in a couple of other recordings. So this problem again can occur. That's why Sriji Maharaj is saying that yes, sadhana is there and swarup is there. You know, Maharaj has talked about his swarup, and once that swarup is seen, how it is, its divinity completely seen, then there is no issue of any problem in sadhana, because then sadhana will become like a one-shot deal. It will be done in such a way that it will directly touch God very, very quickly, and that's really the goal. Otherwise we'll keep spinning around, like I used the term cyclical sadhana before, and that'll keep occurring, not just in one lifetime, but in many lifetimes that will keep occurring. And if that happens, then a person will become a yog bhrashta at some point. A yog bhrashta atma is one who has tried to realize God but has lost the fight with the mind, because there's a fight going on, obviously, like we've been saying, and has lost that fight, becomes yog bhrashta, is born again because of the vasanas and karan sharir, and then starts his sadhana again. I've heard certain sadhus in Swaminarayan Sampradaya state that if a mumukshu in this way, if a spiritual seeker in this way is doing sadhana and is a yog bhrashta for 100 lifetimes, then only he becomes like the gopis of Lord Krishna. Just imagine this thing. Very, very interesting. You know, so again, is it possible to become gopi right now? Sure it is. Of course it is. You know, that is what the human birth is for. We can be that right now. All we have to do are do two things. Make it, well, three things. One, of course, is find real guru who is living in Brahmasthiti, touch his feet, ask him about Brahmasthiti, ask him for Brahmasthiti, his blessings, that will be God's blessings inside of him, and find out completely how he's living inside Brahmasthiti without any break. You know, how he's living in that state of Maharaj without any dosh, but by his life. Okay, so I won't mention any particular guru here, because there are so many different gurus, and if I mention anybody's name, then there may be a problem. Then you'll say, oh, he's not a real saint, this is not a real saint. And there's all kind of controversy about that. So leaving that aside, you select who the guru is. But the guru has to be 100% pure. Guru must be someone who was never in Maya before, who is not in Maya now, and who is completely enlightened. And how can you recognize that? You can recognize such a saint by going near him, and your mind becomes very silent and pure and quiet just by his presence. That is a real guru. That's how you will recognize the real, true enlightened saint. There are a lot of people who are talking. Even Sachin is talking right now. That doesn't mean very much. It's okay. But what does mean something is that the stopping of the mind, the natural stopping of the disturbances within the mind, when we are going near an enlightened saint, that is considered to be a real guru. And Shriji Maharaj has said in Vachanamrut, I think it's Sarangpur 6, if I'm not mistaken, that Naimik Sharani Shetranu Vachanamrut Mano Maya Chakrani Dhara Kuntit Tejai Anityaka Land Ichvu, that thoughts of the mind become completely stabilized and all of the different dispersions are stopped. There's steadiness. And in that steadiness, there's recognition that this is an enlightened being. And that is where moksha exists. Because at the feet of the Sadguru, that is where moksha exists. You know, the feet is not just the physical feet, but the devotee's mind remaining at the feet of the Guru. Because at the feet of the Guru lies absolute understanding of remaining inside God. And when the shishya goes to the guru with complete humility and seva bhav and a jignasu bhav, one who is wanting to know, when a shishya goes to guru in this way, then guru blesses him and guru is ready to give him what he wants to give him. You see, but most people go to saints, like almost 80-90% people, because they're going to saints and all that because they have some material problem and all that, which is fine. That's okay, that's a good place to start. You know, we want to get our material life taken care of. So that's also very, very important, because if there's problems in this regular world with the physical body and with financial problems and with family problems and everything else, then there's no chance of even realizing God, not that easily at least. So most people are going like that, and then they slowly turn towards more spiritual development later on. But this is the fact. So we are looking to see how disturbances can be stopped. We're looking to see how akhanda vritti can occur through sadhana. As part of sadhana, there is navada bhakti. There is you know, the nine forms of devotion, of course. And to be engaged in that again and again and again is wonderful. But like was mentioned before. Past vasanas will come at some point and they will break the navada bhakti. You know, but this is the real secret, because what is the real secret of overcoming this problem? Well, it's not a secret. Shriji Maharaj has said it already. Maharaj has said in Vedras and some other places that the observation of the vasana is required. Observation of vasana means that when those sankalp come, when those thoughts come of different vishaya bhog, different things that are outside the boundary of shikshapatri, once they come, you know, consider that they are not me, they are something different from me. That those thoughts are not me. Huto ino drashta chu. I'm the watcher of those thoughts. You know, that drashta, the watching of those thoughts is what this is Maharaj is talking about. And in that watching, there is the grace of God. Because it is only possible to watch those thoughts when grace is there. Otherwise, we are just absorbed in that disturbance of thoughts. We're just in the thoughts themselves. But the observation of thought means that thoughts are coming, they're going, you see how it is coming and going. And then once they come, if you watch them, but you don't do anything to them, and you remember Bhagwan Nimurti and Sant, you remember the satsang, you remember Gunatitan Swami, Gopalan Swami, Brahmanan Swami, Nishkaran Swami, 500 Paramansas, and your current Guru, assuming he's enlightened, if you remember all of that, then those thoughts will subside naturally. The subsiding of those thoughts naturally is not a function of thinking. It is a state of mind that occurs naturally because of krupa. See, this krupa occurs on an individual who has the steadiness to watch the thoughts, and that steadiness to watch the thoughts occurs on an individual who has done great amount of satsang in one's life, you know, by doing lots of bhajan and kirtan and seva and so many of the spiritual practices and going to satsang mandals and all that kind of thing, who has done all of that for extended period of time and who is deeply trying to realize God and who has prayed to God and to the enlightened saints to come out of maya, only on such a person is it possible for that person to observe thoughts. Otherwise, it is impossible, in my opinion. I think it is next to impossible, if not impossible. It becomes nirbij. You know, there are some gurus out there who talk about observation of thought. But that kind of observation is not going to happen without Bhagwan. And his krupa, Bhagwan's krupa, by krupa of saint, sant. Because krupa means what? Krupa occurs on the individual who is completely wanting liberation. He's wanting to become free from this maya. That wanting itself is very great, you know. And in that great wanting and longing comes the awareness, by the grace of the Lord, that comes the awareness to watch the function of thoughts. Watch the way the mind is moving. You see, watching the movement of the mind is not a function of limited sadhana. Sadhana comes way, way before that, like we said. You know, all kinds of sadhans have been done already. Bhajan, kirtan, like I said, dhyan, so many things have been done. So many dhanvats have been done. So much has been done. Okay. And from that, at some point, what happens then is the watching of the mind. The watching, the awareness of the mind. That awareness of the mind is real freedom to act within the mind and to use the mind as necessary for external action. That is critical. Like Gunatitan Swami said, Nirantara Sarva Kriyama Pachu Valine Jo. That is awareness. You see, to be able to do that is part of awareness. Shriji Maharaj said, Janpana Rupe Darvaje Paramansa Ubache. That is awareness. Then Gunatitan Swami said, Sarva Kriyama Pacha Valine Jo. Jau, that's one thing. But then he also said that kriya rup na thau. Kriya karta karta bhagwan nit sambharva kriya rup na thau. That means while performing action, don't forget about the awareness that God is with you all the time. And otherwise we just become absorbed in the action and forget about the Lord. You know. So again, this is another very interesting topic for different, and we will talk about that later on sometime. It's a very, very important topic about how to do this and what is involved in this. But the fact is that kriya is physical, mental, and emotional. All three. Kriya is not just physical. It is mental. It is thinking process. If we start worrying about something, that is also kriya. If we start feeling sad all of a sudden, that is also a type of kriya. And that has effect on our mind, the mind and our link with God. So all of this is involved. There's so much involved in this, you know. And the purpose of these recordings, like we said before, this is not any just kathavarta or something like this. This is not just your usual kathavarta that goes in a particular pattern. It's not like that. I'm just kind of talking freely, pretty much, without referring to anything, as it is coming in my mind on some of these topics, to share some of these ideas and to explore further, because the further exploration is required, not just verbally, but it is required actually within our own hearts. I have to do the same thing. If you feel this is helpful for you or this is something interesting, then you will have to do that also, because God is not something that is far from us. He's right inside of us, but we are not able to see or able to perceive His existence that easily. That is because of the block of Maya. You know, so Sriji Maharaj's entire purpose was to remove that block of Maya. That's what he said. He wants to come, he comes to destroy the Karan Sharir. The Karan Sharir is the causal body. The causal body is the root problem, which is responsible for the life and death cycle. You know, the life and rebirth cycle, which is responsible for rebirth. The transmigration cycle. And in fact, it is called Punarjanma, which is also known as metapsychosis. It's very, very interesting. That's another big topic, another time. But the fact is that when we are intent upon realizing God, the decision has been made. Now what to do? Now just be very, very careful. One has to be extremely careful at that point, not to allow any other diversion to occur. Because the whole world is filled with diversions. It's filled with all kinds of diversions. And not just the outside world, the internal world is filled with diversions. So all of that has to be seen. Awareness is required, like we are saying. Constant prayer is required. And a sense of courage is required. Because to do this requires courage. It's just very, very easy to say, you know, I do some satsang, do some bhajan bhakti, etc. And then simply go back into this sansar, into this worldly life, and be driven by sexual desire, desire for money, desire for power and fame, and all the other sense objects, and waste one's life just for that. One's life should not be wasted for that. That is not what life is for. Life is for that to some extent, you know, but not completely. Our main goal in life is Dheyo Narayano Hari. We want to realize the Supreme Lord. That kind of pure understanding, if that is there, when that is there, then why should God be far away from us? You know, He'll be right with us. And the other thing is, the spiritual path is a journey into pure consciousness, into pure bliss. You know, how much joy is there in doing bhajan? How much joy is there in doing arati? How much joy is there in waking up in the morning and thinking of the Lord and sitting and doing puja for 1 hour, half an hour, 45 minutes, 2 hours, whatever time it may be. There is just pure joy, you know, to remain in that joy all the time. And then just to be free, to be floating in spirituality, just as an eagle flies in the sky, you know. So just as birds fly in the sky, or as an eagle flies in the sky, without any friction, without any tension, their wings are spread apart and it's just gliding. You see, like that. So in that sense, our two wings of Agnya Upasana, of Jnana and Vairagya, Dharma and Bhakti, you know, these are the wings. These are the wings on which we have to fly. These are the wings given by Bhagwan Swaminarayan and the Ekantik saints, the Paramhansas. So let us pray to them that we shall continue our journey on the spiritual path. And like I said before, please email me or call me if you have any thoughts about this, any other ideas, comments, anything that you want to say. This is an exploration, a dialogue between a spiritual seeker and friends and others. And that's it. Sajanand Swami Maharaj Ni Jai.